Good evening, and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is Empathy and Science, Unlocking the World, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater Game Over and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.com. online, or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. Good evening, Webb. See you made it. Glad to see you here. We open, as always, with a prayer. Tonight we pray, Heavenly Father, O Lord of Lord, host of hosts, please shine down upon us all. Heal our world. Show us how to be more empathic towards others. Show us how to shine your light, the light of your glory, holiness upon those who have not seen it or who have left the fold. We pray with all our hearts that you see us through the rough times we're having in these days. Pray these things in your heavenly, glorious name, O Lord. Amen. Thanks for being with us. Praise God. So I've got a January list for donors. I didn't get a February update. Reverend Dave, Janet, and Lisa, Patty, Linda, David, and Bruce, Alicia, and Reverend Dave, and Dan. And, of course, I donate myself every month. I think I missed the list last month because I was late. But I never miss putting a few dimes into the bucket. And anybody else that can help, really appreciate it. Tonight we have a great topic, though. We're going to start with a few of the basic current topics that are going on. Then we'll get on the topic of the night, which is a kind of an interesting topic because a lot of people don't quite understand where I'm headed with this, but you'll know by the end of the podcast. So hang in there, folks. And be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Be sure to give us a few kudos if you can, or comments. And thank you, Marilyn. I see that. That's great. Thank you so much. And thank everybody for coming on board tonight. So there are issues. So right now, everybody is questioning science. And you know, science has become the scourge of all good Christians and even a Jews out there, and even the Muslims. And everybody looks at science as being the end all for religion in general. And science, you know, scientists will typically say scientists typically say that, oh, gee, that, you know, religion is just some pseudo magical, mystical thing that, you know, is in your brain, and your brain makes religion, and religion doesn't really exist. So we've debunked that a few times. We're not going to attempt to debunk that right now, but we are going to debunk science itself and how we acknowledge science and how scientists should react. Now, by way of background, for those who aren't familiar, I do have an electrical engineering degree. I was a scientist and engineer for ECRI, the company that designs biomedical equipment, many years ago. And I've been involved in biomedical field and electrical engineering field for many years. And now I work with customers in a call center. So I've got that connection to people. And empathy is defined typically as related to human relations. However, I'm going to go a step further and relate it to non-human, by the same definition, entities. Especially now with the computer era and AI and all these other things we have going on, knowing and understanding how to communicate with our own devices. When think about your cell phone. Now, you need to be able to be one with that cell phone to make it work. Some people really ace those things. It's absolutely amazing to see some of these kids with their fingers flying and voice commands, and boy, I wish I had that connection with my cell phone. I'm getting better at it, but I've never been that enthusiastic about it. You have to really enjoy something to have an empathy with it. From the early days, I've been told that I'm an empath, and I didn't know what it was called originally until I started to grow older as I was in my 20s and 30s. And I realized what an empath is. So let's start with a definition first, and then we'll see how it all relates to understanding the world, to relating to people. In a later podcast, we're going to do empathy with our with people we hate. We need to empathize with people such as, you know, far-left Democrats, and by the same token, far-left rhino Republicans that have no interest whatsoever in us, in humanity, etc. Yes, Anna, correct. You two are an empath. And you become more and more of an empath as you grow, if you grow into it. See, some people go through life just doing things and not living things. There's a big difference between, say, being an auto mechanic and being an auto racer, one who builds automobiles from scratch, one who knows how to build motorized skateboards, and you know, all kinds of other things that are interrelated. And we'll get into that in a minute. But let's go with a broad definition from Englishteacher.eu. Guy, gotta love that. Never heard of that one before. I thought it was pretty cool, though. It was a really great thing. I want to hang on my wall because, as a customer service representative, you really need empathy in general for others. Empathy is a noun that refers to the ability to understand and feel what someone else is feeling, or see the situation from their point of view. Now, that's very important. See the situation from their point of view. Okay. The specific emotion that someone who is feeling empathic feels varies depending on the situation. One of the most important interpersonal skills that someone can have is empathy, because it can help you connect with that person very easily. Now, I'm going to define person and just put machine in that place, put mountain in that place, put planet, whatever you want, because you can have empathy with more than humans, as long as that thing has some sort of empathy back to you. In other words, you've got to be able to relate bidirectionally. Another definition, noun, empathy, the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing. Now, this is a great definition. Being sensitive to and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another, either the past or present, without having feelings, thoughts, and experiences fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. That's Merriam-Webster. Man, that is a fantastic definition. You vicariously, from outside, you're feeling that from outside that other entity. You're feeling that those feelings and thoughts. And, you know, I don't know why they only relate this in general to human interactions, because these interactions can be with anything. It can be with a plant, can be with a tree, can be with an ant, can be with your cat. You know, seriously. So I'm going to expand upon the definition of empathy to be the understanding and communications, becoming one with whatever, whether it's another human, your cell phone, your cat, or this very science that you're working to understand. Let me explain empathy. Now, empathy, how does one become empathic? How do you understand what someone else is like or what someone else does if you've never done it before? See, that's the problem. Most people are very sheltered. You don't become an empath by being alone in the world, by not listening to, and by not interacting with others. Now, Anna had a great comment. That's why I must be an empath too, why I'm an empath too. She's my daughter. Now, Anna, I'm going to tell you, I want you to listen closely. What did we do when you were young, when you were a child? Did I not drag you to every event that I ever went to? Did I not drag you to political events? Remember, you were holding the megaphone, I believe, out in Gettysburg. And, boy, you really drew a crowd on that one. I'll leave out some of the flags that were shown. There were, and it was a very interesting crowd out there. Something to experience. I mean, how would you experience a crowd of what they would call now radical, right-wing, maybe even white supremacists that were present? But yeah, jumped at the chance. But was that a unique experience, being at something where there was a different sort of person? You know, I'm very conservative, and I'm very, you know, political and very conservative. But to be with this crowd that was so far right-wing, I mean, this was off the charts, this thing. It was unbelievable. but a great experience. Now I understand, you know, I get to meet a wonderful lady, Ginny Queen Bee Lee, wonderful human being, the great grandniece of Robert E. Lee at this thing. And they were all Southern, whatever you want to call them. But boy, I'll tell you, there was a crowd out there. It was a thing for freedom and for patriotism. And of course, there was a little bit of Trump involved in that as well. That was when I was running for Senate. But these things are what make or break us if we're going to be empathic. See, when you become empathic, what happens is you're not some weird mystic or some, you know, strange spiritual entity that's, you know, from some strange planet far away. Now, what it is that you become one with nature. You become one with who you are. You become one with the world by experiencing the world, by being and experiencing. Now, having been myself involved in science, being involved in engineering, and being involved also in art, done a lot of artwork. You know, my wife always says, "Geez, you know, how come you're not welding more flowers? I like to weld flowers and artwork, and I paint and I write books and whatnot." And she said, I looked at her and I said, "Look, I get bored very quickly. I've tried a little of everything. I consider myself one of the few people that's good at just about everything or anything that any human being can possibly do, that understands just about everything that any human being can understand, but I'm not great at anything. And the reason I'm not great is that I jump from one thing to another. I get bored very quickly, but I love to learn. And once I'm done, I say, well, I've learned that. Let's learn something else." And I'm surprised I've been on this podcast this long because it's, you know, I usually get bored very quickly, but having a great audience and some great topics. And I'll tell you, I think it was Trump that did that. Trump was the big one, because when you get involved with Trump and you have 4 years of just being able to talk about the crazy things going on and whatnot, and then the far left takes over, boy, there's a lot to talk about. There really is. So I'm not bored yet, and a lot of great topics to go over. But what you need to do is get out there and become one with the world. Now, what happens? Now, here's the big deal right now. We've got scientists and physicians and others, and all these things relate, because when you talk about science, if you don't understand, I mean, it's a given that if you're involved in science, you're involved in, you know, vaccine research like Fauci and the others, and you need to be involved in a lot of science and mathematics. Mathematics plays a huge part. And mathematics is not science, but scientists need to know mathematics in order to do their job. But they also need to know politics. They need to know human beings. They need to know the left, the right. They need to know everybody. See, and this is where a lot of these scientists and physicians and politicians fail. This is where we can learn. We can learn by going out and doing things. Now, I always said, well, if you're going to own something, you're going to own a car, you shouldn't just jump in that car and drive it. You should understand as much as you can about that car. You should understand what kind of an engine it's got, how it gets its power, how it runs, how efficient is it, how does it compare to other cars. You should learn a little bit of the background. You should learn how to change a tire if you need to. You should learn what you can or can't do. In these new cars, you can't do a lot, but you should still understand them. You should understand why you can't do them. There's a lot of crazy things going on with these automobiles. Same with a television set or a cell phone. You know, more people spend more time learning and understanding their cell phones than understanding other human beings' feelings or understanding the science and technology in the world. If you want to understand science, you got to get up and get out. The first step is drop to a museum, even if it's a virtual museum. Get online. Go learn about some things. Learn about things that you wouldn't otherwise learn. If you're not a musician, go pick up an instrument. Get a guitar. I played a harmonica. Get a trombone. Just buy an instrument and start playing it. Musical instruments are a great way to connect with the world. Learn a new language. Now, for science, let's talk science, since that's what the main thing is. We're trying to find out where the disconnect is between science and God. See, science is an interesting thing. Now, science, you know, religion is philosophy, theology, and a lot of belief in spirituality, and a lot of belief in the words that are given to you or handed down through time. There's a lot of faith involved with religion. But, you know, religion is very specific. When you see 5, 6, do some research. Again, you can't be a good Christian. You can't be a good Jew. You can't be a good any faith unless you've done your research. Now, you know, I've read eight or nine, I think it's 9 versions of the Christian Bible. And one of my most favorite, by the way, is James Moffat. If you haven't read a James Moffat or skimmed through it, boy, it flows so well, and it's a perfect translation. It's translated from the original Hebrew and Aramaic. But I've also read the Quran. I've read a lot of the Buddhist writings, Hindu, various New Age. I've got a lot of New Age under my belt. Learned a lot about religion in general. Now I can understand that whole background behind religion. I understand where it came from. I understand, you know, when you have 15, 20 different religions that all say the same thing, the same origin scenario, where we came from. And you can't have two scientists agree on where the Big Bang originated. Now, I got a problem with that. See, that's where I suddenly have this belief that there's a stronger belief in faith and religion than there is in that science. You look at the science, you have to understand how the science, technology, talk. So there's 3 things in science. There's fact. There's science, fact. That's a very important thing to remember. Science, fact. And fact is unchangeable. Science fact is that which scientists have tested. Now, remember that the scientists, you yourself with your eyes and your ears, are testing and learning from what God has allowed us to see. We can't see. We can't touch the planets in the far distance. We can't touch another galaxy. We can't touch antimatter. There's things we can't touch physically. Now, we're getting more and more in touch with things. We now have touched the moon. We've touched Mars. We've sent probes out of our system that we can actually see and view things physically. And the more we touch, the more we learn. That's part of that empathy for the system. You are becoming one with the system. It's easy to become one with your Bible, one with God, one with religion. It's hard to become one with something that's incomplete. You know, the Bible's incomplete. I mean, the Bible is complete. Science is incomplete. So what science has besides fact? And fact are things that will happen every single time in general within the current realm that we exist. That realm can change at any time. That's the really cool thing. You know, reality can change at any time is basically what I'm saying. But the fact is that if I take a wrench and I turn a bolt, it's going to get tight. If I turn it to the clockwise. If I turn it counterclockwise, it's going to get loose. Unless it's got a reverse thread, then it's going to do the opposite. These things will happen every day. If I mix baking soda and vinegar, I'm going to boil over and it's going to make a mess. That these things are consistent within the universe that we exist unless something changes. Now, there's science theory. The theoretical science is based upon the current knowledge that we have. This is where this empathy comes in. You get a feeling. You develop a feeling for something, and you become part of it. You become one with it. But now your emotions become part of that as well. As an example, I worked in the repair field for many years, and my colleagues and my employers were absolutely amazed. I pick up any instrument, regardless of what it is, take the circuit boards out of it. If it was broken, they'd tell me what's broken. I'd look at it. And just by looking at that circuit board, I could tell them what the problem was and how to fix it. No test equipment, no schematics, just looking at the circuit board. How do you do that? Well, that's my empathy with that machine. I become one with the machine, where I understand the technology, understand the parts and components that go into this thing so well. Like I do with computers now, I support computers, I support the internet. And I can tell you what's wrong without even seeing your computer, without even knowing your problem. I could tell you what's broken and how to fix it, because I have become one with that technology, which is what I call an empathy for that technology. And scientific theory should be the same way, because people, what happens is you've got scientific fact. You can base certain things on fact, and then you can extrapolate what might happen based on those other, all the other knowledge you've gained over the years. That's how a physician works. That's why there's so many years in being a physician. You need to be with many patients. You need to see many cadavers. You need to run across many different diseases to understand when a patient comes in, what their problem is. So you've got the facts and you've got theory, and then you've got scientific speculation. Now, here's where things become dicey. Scientific speculation is used a lot these days, especially by people trying to control the population. Now, you remember the science rolls over into mathematics as well. So mathematics rolls into the enumeration of political agendas and populations and population densities and political persuasions, etc. When you start playing with numbers, that becomes the science of numbers. So you're doing a political science, basically, where they're messing with these numbers. Now, if you're speculating, see, if you have 2,000 people and 5 become sick from something that was given to them, you'll say, okay, well, only 5 out of 2,000 became sick. Well, you're speculating that if you did 10,000, the same results would occur. Remember that life, everything in life is like playing dice. It's like taking a coin and flipping it. You've got a 50-50 chance of being right at any one time. It's not a perfect coagulation or assimilation that's evenly spread and dispersed. So you may pick 2,000 people and the odds, you know, think about playing a lottery. There's always a winner. The Powerball's got a winner. Somebody wins that Powerball eventually. But it ain't going to be me. It ain't going to be you. But somebody wins that. Now, why is it not me and why is it not you? Because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You pick 2,000 people, unless you test everyone or at least half the people, the odds are in favor of not being representative of the people or the issues that you're looking at. And that's where the speculation comes. You see, with a lot of speculation and with this pandemic, I've been looking into a lot of the numbers and I've used raw numbers. I actually wrote a book. I wrote a book on the economy back in 2018 when I was running for U.S. Senate. And I spent about a year working on this thing and took raw numbers rather than use the speculation of the government agencies and officials or of the so-called experts in the field. I went and got raw numbers from the entire society, from every number everywhere, and put them together and came out with some interesting results. You know, I found out in 2018, even today, it has not changed since our economy has not changed at all since 2018, regardless of what you might think. We are basically in a worse state right now than we were in the Great Depression. The only thing saving us right now is the fact that we are throwing money at things. We're making things too big to fail. It's the only thing that's saving us right now, and it won't save us for long. That's a topic for another podcast. But I only found that out by actually going in and delving into those numbers and digging in and getting the hard numbers and then churning them myself and finding the facts based on that. And I took every human being on the United States of America, basically. I had the numbers for them. Why didn't nobody else think to do that? Same thing with, you know, pandemic. How many people, you know, there's the statistics. I've been trying to find statistics on how many people died from, you know, following the vaccine, how many people got sick or died without the vaccines. And, you know, all these numbers, they should have been keeping this. They haven't been keeping these numbers, folks. We don't have the raw data. We have speculation. Are these vaccines safe? Who knows? Who knows? You don't have the numbers. You see, speculation is not to be trusted. And that's where we're losing this, because scientists are speculating. Physicians are speculating on things. And they're not, rather than becoming one with the science. And I can tell you, I mean, I predicted, and it was sad because people were really mad when I came on a podcast right before the elections last year and said that Trump was going to lose. They were mad when I told them, you got to go out and register some more voters, because there's going to be issues and we need a lot of voters in there. to overcome that. No, no, we got that tens and thousands. I just felt it. I didn't have the numbers, you know, and I've been so good at this that in 2016, I kept giving ABC News the numbers. I was running, was a delegate for Donald Trump. And ABC News would call me, are you sure this guy's going to win? We've got him 6%. This was, you know, they kept going, are you still sure? Are you still sure? I got a call from the news director for ABC News on election night, 2016, November. She says, look, are you sure that Trump's going to win? I said, look, because we got him at 6% or 8% or something. I'm like, look, you're totally wrong. If you, and I told her, I said, if you say 6 or 8%, you're going to look like smacked asses. You're going to wish you had, you're going to have to shut your network down. She laughed at me. She goes, are you sure? She goes, I said, yes. I said, well, I trust you. That night, ABC News was the only network that didn't broadcast the statistics or the probabilities that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Because that woman, that news director, knew that I knew what I was talking about. I knew it by feeling the social media. You went out and watched. I looked at, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to leave Facebook. No, you got to stay there. You got to stay with the people you hate. You got to stay with the people that hate you. Because that's how you become one with the world, to understand where politics is headed. You need to talk to the Democrats. You need to talk to rhinos. You need to talk to people you hate. You need to talk to gays even if you don't like gays. You need to talk to straight people if you're gay and you don't like straight people. If you're a woman, you need to talk to a man. A man, you need to talk to a woman. You need to talk to everybody. And you need to be kind and respectful of them, whether you love them or hate them. Now, I was very depressed today at a rally I went that I ran during the Trump. It was a Trump rally, Patriot rally. And again, when I was running for Senate, and the one guy came up and I had to keep him away from one of my speakers. One of my speakers was Jewish. And the guy came at me. He's like, what'd you invite that something Jew to this rally? And I looked him straight in the face and I said, listen, that something Jew is my best friend. And he's more of a patriot than you are. He's more of a Republican. Even though he was a Democrat, he's more of a conservative than you are. Because I knew him. People are people. We're all the same. You need to understand and respect them. And you need to feel them. You need to feel exactly what they're feeling, which is the empathy. You need to have that empathy. When the scientists need to do the same thing, and you need with science, when you want to understand the science, you want to understand that. Say, oh, I don't like masks. I don't like, learn about them. Go to a hospital. Ask people in the hospital or ask your people in the ambulance, why would you wear a mask? What do you think about masks? Are they worth it? You know, personally, I think they're useless, but that's because I've done my research and I've felt and seen the results of wearing masks and how worthless they are. Vaccine, I'll be honest with you. My empathic response to vaccine is completely useless. You know, not all vaccines, but the one that they came up with to try and resolve the pandemic is useless. It's not doing any good. And how do I know it? I'm not an expert in that sort of thing. I know it because I feel it. And I will guarantee you that that is correct. So we need to become one with the people we hate, the things we don't understand. And the more you learn, the more empathic you'll become, the more you'll become the expert without even being an expert. And that's how we need to approach science. If you want to learn about things, don't just listen to what other people say, but go out and learn from textbooks. Go out and learn from trusted resources that are unrelated but related. The more knowledge you get, like they said, knowledge is power. Now we're going to discuss in the next one of the future, it might even be next week, discuss empathy as related to politics, because that's another issue. How do we win elections? How are we going to win this year in the midterms? How are we going to win in 2024? What do you know to win elections? What do you need to do and understand to be able to understand exactly what's going on in the world and what's going on in politics? And you need to be empathic to others in order to understand that. You need to do your homework. You need to listen to people with an open mind, even people you hate. That's my 2 cents for the show today. Boy, I'll tell you, the half hour goes very quickly these days. There's a lot to talk about. I wish I could talk more on this topic. Maybe we'll bring it up again in a future podcast. But right now, I'm just going to say, I want to thank everybody. Give us some love. Give us some hearts and whatever you can to show that you like the show today. And tell your friends about us. And also let you know that we now have the Truth Premium, which is on our website, eternalaffairsmedia.com. It's only 99 cents per month. You get fewer ads. You receive more exclusive and premium content, as well as you have access to all our Powered by Truth community forum. We've got some great articles on that forum. There's over, I think it was like 8,000 articles on different things. And you really can't beat the 99 cents in support of the truth at premium.eamedia.online. You can sign up right there today. You can check out all our articles at eternalaffairsmedia.com. Support truth powered by the truth. Founded in 2010. Go to premium.eamedia.online, store.eamedia.online, donate.eamedia.online, or patreon.eamedia.online. We appreciate you. Love you. God loves you. We all love your support. God bless you and thank you. But we are going to be here again next week. Please do go check out our website as well. But I thank every one of you for coming here. It's just a blessed thing to be able to have a wonderful audience, to be able to help educate in the intricacies of life on this great planet of ours, given to us by the grace of God. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. We will see you again next week, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Politically Incorrect with Andrew Schechter. Have a good night, folks. Good night, everybody, and God bless.